Welcome everyone, and thank you for listening to this episode of VaxHub Careers in Vaccine Development, the podcast that brings you insights into different and exciting professional development opportunities in this space. My name is Ludovica Vaiarelli. I'm the Outreach Coordinator of VaxHub, and it is my great pleasure to guide you through this journey. It is my honor to host today Professor Nicola Stonehouse, a very well-known virologist and professor in molecular virology at the University of Leeds, where she actually started her career with a PhD in biochemistry. Nicola has made significant contributions to the understanding of RNA viruses, particularly focusing on their structure, replication mechanisms, gene expression, and host interactions. So a very warm welcome to you, Nicola.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here today. So let's start. Maybe could you tell us a little bit about your background? How did everything start?
I did a degree in genetics and a PhD, as you say, in biochemistry, but actually it was in dental enamel development. So it was a little bit of a leap from my first degree to my PhD. And I also had a bit of a gap. I worked for a while and I did my PhD part-time. And after that point in time was really when I started getting involved with viruses. And I used some of the techniques that I'd learned during my PhD and applied those to the study of viruses. So it's not necessarily a classical start with viruses. And I started working with bacterial viruses because they were the simplest things to study. And then I moved into working on other viruses and working on vaccines more recently.
Right. So was science a passion of yours since you were very young, or how did it?
Yes, I think I've liked puzzles. I've liked trying to answer questions, trying to get to the bottom of something. So I think always investigation has been something that's intrigued me. Human disease, I think, because we're all interested and fascinated by disease and ourselves.
The human body.
But I also do work on animal disease as well. But it wasn't necessarily a definite decision. Certainly at school, if we go back that far, I actually enjoyed my sort of arts and humanities subjects as much as I did my science. And if you go back and look at actually exam results, then I shouldn't have gone down a scientific pathway at
right.
all, because I was much better at English and French than I was at physics and chemistry.
Okay.
But I enjoyed them, and therefore I wanted to study, so I just had to put in the work.
Right, wonderful. Would you say science and the research that you do requires creativity, now that we were talking about arts?
Oh, absolutely, creativity. I think without creativity, then, you know, we are all doomed. And certainly when it comes to hobbies, I maintain my creative hobbies. I make earrings. I'm going on a workshop next weekend to do some leather work. I sing. So keeping music and keeping those creative outlets, really, I think makes you a better scientist.
That's wonderful to hear. Right. So what are you actually now working on at the university? What is your research on?
So we have various strands in the research group. Some are still very fundamental studies of viruses, sort of what makes viruses tick, really. And others are much more applied. And that's the work on vaccines, particularly new vaccines for polio.
Okay.
So we're trying to make vaccines for polio going forward. Unfortunately, it is still a problem in some countries, even though it's less of a problem here now. And what we're trying to do is make protein-based vaccines. So there's lots of different ways to make a vaccine. And I think that's a really good thing. We don't have to make something in one particular way. We don't have to use just one technology. So in terms of polio, the virus is really a sort of protein shell. And inside you've got RNA, which is the genetic material. So what we're trying to do is just make the protein shell, because although that's the bit that looks scary, it's actually completely inert and doesn't cause disease. So if you've never got any genetic material there, it can be therefore very safe to make, cheap to make and safe to use. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've been trying to do with polio.
So the work is very much focused on increasing the safety profile of these vaccines.
Going forward, yes. Because as there are fewer and fewer cases of polio worldwide, wild polio will be considered eradicated. And at that point in time, we need to keep vaccinating as a sort of safety precaution, but yes. We can't keep making vaccines from live virus. It will become too expensive, too high containment, too risky. So we have to have a strategy, and that's what we're working on currently, or one of the key areas that we're working on.
Right. Why do you think it's important to work on vaccines?
Vaccines are one of the most important health interventions that we can do. So clean water, antibiotics, vaccination. Without those things, most of us wouldn't be walking around today.
Yeah, we tend to forget about that.
I think we accept a lot of vaccination for our children. It's just part of normal life, really, to have these vaccinations. And we don't really consider very often what the world would be like without them. Yes. So I think it's an incredibly important thing. And it, for me as a virologist, it allows me to sort of consolidate a lot of the work we've been doing, working with others, working as part of large groups and teams, and bring all that together for, a really hopefully beneficial endpoint.
Yes. And I assume that must feel very rewarding, as actually my next question would be, what inspires you every day? Why, what would you say gives you joy in the work you do?
I think it's two things, actually, because the problem with being a professor is you don't get to do bench science anymore. So you don't actually get to do those experiments, but you do get to work with great groups of people. So the teamwork, the collaboration, that gives me joy. Also seeing those results after long periods of time when things are not working, you can't work out what's working, you try and suggest things, doesn't make any difference. Yes. But then there's yes, we can see a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel. So still that solving puzzles, that coming to the, sorting problems, that still gets me out of bed in the morning.
It is very much of a teamwork, as you were saying. What kind of roles, how does your team look like? Is it, I assume it's not only virologists?
No, not at all. So my own research group, we work on a variety of different projects. So there are predominantly virologists within that group. But when we look at how we're trying to work for applying our skills to vaccine development, then yes, we have structural biologists. We have people who've much better at immunology than we are. Some people who can do those kind of experiments that we can't do. And when everybody comes together, then that's when really the magic can happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We also work very closely with the WHO, the World Health Organization. And so we've got their input as well, and their advisory panels, which again, broaden our expertise, challenging us yet further. So it's really important to have those bigger networks.
Yes. So what do you think the future of vaccine research, vaccine development, how does it look like? What would you envision for the upcoming generation of new scientists in this space?
I think we need multidisciplinary teams. We need people from all different sorts of backgrounds.
Yes.
And that isn't necessarily people who go and do a very traditional route. We want people who've done things a little bit differently. We want people who think differently. There isn't one way to make a vaccine. There's not going to be one strategy that works for everything. In the same way, there's not going to be one manufacturing way that works for everything. We make our polio vaccine candidates in yeast, but that's not the only way to do things. And different problems need different solutions. So we need people who can work well together and people who can bring innovative ideas to the table and who are good at sharing.
Yes. Right. What's good about academia?
What's good about academia?
A career in academia. What would you say it's the pros and cons as well, maybe?
So the cons are, I think, the short-term contract nature of things. And whether that's in your own salary, which it can be for quite a long time. I mean, I was 40 before I had a permanent job. Or whether it's still keeping people in your research group, it's challenging because you
talent can, recruitment.
Just challenging to keep the science going. Because yeah. So if we look at some of the people who work for me at the moment, the longest contract I've got is for somebody for 4 years. And the shortest is someone who's out of a job in 2 months. And you're always trying to think, well, how can I keep that person on? Can I keep that person on? Always applying for money, trying to do that alongside actually doing the science that, you know, that you need to do. So I think that's a challenge, but it's the nature of the work. I don't think we can get away from that. You can also say that means that things keep fresh because we do have a turnover of people. And so that means we're always having new people coming into a team, and those yeah. people who leave the team often go on and take their skills elsewhere and enrich another team. So I think that's good. I think for me personally, flexibility, it means I can work hours that I want to work within certain constraints. I can balance my teaching with the other things that I do. I can work weekends if I want to, but I don't have to. I can take an afternoon off if I want to. You know, I think it's a very flexible way of working. And I think sometimes we don't make the most of that. And going forward, flexible working, you know, is something that's big on the agenda. And actually, academia can work for you if you make it work for you.
Right. Okay. Maybe just to conclude, do you have any advice for students, well, people interested in pursuing studies and or a career in this space?
Do what you're passionate about. Always do what you're passionate about. Don't do what you think you should do. Do what you really enjoy, even if it's hard. Because if you enjoy it, you'll work hard at it and you'll succeed at it.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for being here today and for this great conversation. Thanks. Thank you for listening to this episode of VaxHub, Careers in Vaccine Development, the podcast that brings you insights into different and exciting professional development opportunities in this space. My name is Ludovica Vaiarelli. I'm the outreach coordinator of VaxHub, and it is my great pleasure to guide you through this journey. To delve deeper into the world of vaccine development and production through fascinating stories from researchers, academics, entrepreneurs, and policymakers, among others, be sure to also explore our other podcast episodes, as well as our summary video series on the same topic.